This morning, I want to talk about the fourth message now on Love Does Lifestyle. We've been talking through the Sermon on the Mount and how our theme of Love Does for this year isn't a one-off, random act of kindness, kind of an extra thing that you do now and then. That Love Does is a lifestyle. It's God's lifestyle. It's a change of our nature. It's a change of our character. And that as we draw near to Christ, He literally begins to work inside of us so that our nature changes. And have you noticed as you've lived with Jesus that at first you had to try really hard to do some of the things He asked you to do? I remember back, and it's been years since I was a teenager, when I accepted Jesus, and there were things that I really, really had to work hard at doing in regard to obeying Him. Some of those things I don't have to work hard at anymore. It's now become part of my nature. Now, there are plenty of other things I still work hard at. Lots of stuff I still battle with and struggle because I'm now at a different place in my relationship with God. But He's changing my nature, and He should be changing our natures as well. This morning, I want to talk to you about keeping your word, the lifestyle of keeping your word, and how to make your word shatterproof. We talked about Jesus' words about being angry and controlling that. We talked the next week about keeping our thought life pure. Last week, we talked about the marriage vow and how to keep our marriage divorce-proof. And now, I want to talk about how to keep your word shatterproof. The Word of God says that, let's back up. That in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes from keeping your marriage vow till today, keeping all of your vows. That it isn't just about keeping the marriage pure, but everything that we say is powerful and important. Does the phrase, "my word is my bond," mean anything? Really, think about it. That's a powerful phrase. Can we say to people, if I say it, it's bedrock. It's as if I signed a contract. It's as if I've made a legal document out of this. My word is that strong. When politicians make promises, do we really believe them? Regardless of party. We really don't, do we? So, yeah, we'll see. We'll find out. When someone says, hey, we should get together sometime, I'll call you. Are you shocked when they actually call you? Because that's kind of a thing that we just blow off people, right? Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, sometime. Yeah, we'll do lunch. And it never happens. Who are the people that you know right now? Think about a name that when they say something, it's going to happen. Aren't those the people you trust? And you can think of other people at the very same time that when they say something in the back of your mind, you may not do it visibly, but in the back of your mind, you're rolling your eyes. This is never going to happen because it's happened before. A lot of talk, not a lot of action. And do you find yourself qualifying your promises so that there's weight added to them because maybe your word isn't strong enough to stand on its own? Your word is important. Your word is important not for your name, but your word is important because you're God's people. And that God's reputation is at stake with our word. Our lives are filled with qualifying promises, contracts, prenups, in order to add weight. And we do this even as children. Remember back in the day? At least it was in my day. I don't know what kids say today. But you'd say, you know, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. And then the other kid would say, no, stick a million needles in my eye. And you just up the ante. Or I swear on the Bible. Well, I swear on a stack of Bibles. And we had to continue this. And we did that as kids. Just upping the ante of what I swear on to make my word somehow more weighty. God says we have a problem when we have to add that kind of weight to our word. One person said this, promises are like babies, easy to make, hard to deliver. It's a good one. Another guy, Norman Douglas, said this, never take a solemn oath because then people think you mean it. Abraham Lincoln said this, we must not promise what we ought not, lest we are called on to perform what we cannot. Our word is important. Here's what Jesus said, let me read you the scripture, or make the statement. Your character defines your name. Your actions or your word defines your character. Is your character weighty enough that your word can stand on its own? That's where we are today. Here's what the Bible says. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath that you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. That's powerful. Especially that last statement, isn't it? Anything beyond, I said it was yes or I said it was no. Anything beyond that, the scripture says, comes from the evil one. We're going to learn why that's so in today's message. Keeping your word and keeping one's word is really, really important to God. Here's what it says in Psalm chapter 138, verse 2. For he has exalted above all things his name and his word. If anything is important to God, there's two things. One is his name. One is his word. And they go together. You know that, right? What happens to your name if you're always breaking your word? What happens to your name if you're always keeping your word? Your reputation is at stake. And again, as I've already stated, God's reputation is at stake when we either keep or break our word. Let's look at what it used to be. What was the process back before even Jesus' time? He said this: you've heard that it was said, don't break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. Now, what did they hear that it was said? Here's what they were taught from the Old Testament. You shall not swear by my name falsely. Okay, makes sense. Another one: when you swear an oath, you must do everything you said. Another one: if you don't make a vow, you are not guilty. And there are many, many other scriptures. These are just a couple. This is what Jesus meant by, you heard it said a long time ago. These scriptures are what they lived by. But the people of Israel and the leaders of the law and the Pharisees were famous at being able to twist what was said in order to fit their particular whim or context. And there were two different kinds of oaths that developed over time that the religious leaders taught. One was called a binding oath. And a binding oath was any oath that had God's name attached to it. Another was a non-binding oath, and that's an oath that didn't have God's name attached to it. So in other words, if the oath had God's name attached, you're in. You got to keep that oath because God's name is on that oath. But if God's name was not on that oath and you flaked out, no big deal. No harm, no foul. You can say, hey, I didn't invoke God's name. I didn't use his name, so I'm okay with that. And the people generally kind of understood using God's name, important, not using God's name, no big deal. I was in Africa a couple of years ago, and I found that there's a similar manipulation there. And they will say things like, I promise if God allows. And so if they flake out and don't do it, they just shrug and say, God didn't allow. And therefore they can get away with breaking their promise because God wasn't in that. Now Jesus really rams this home to the people in Matthew chapter 23. I don't want to read this to you. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus takes this further. And if you know anything about the scripture, Matthew 23 is one of the few times that Jesus just goes off. He is really, really upset. He's frustrated and he's rebuking the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. And he just hammers away at them in Matthew 23. Well, he gets to this part and he says this, verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold in the temple, he is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, he's bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. God is really, really intent on us keeping our word and not manipulating our promises, not manipulating what we say to fit what we want it to say. It matters, our character. Our word, it matters. It matters to God and it should matter to us. Now, this whole thing really has to do with the manipulation of a double lifestyle. That's really what it is. That I can say this and break it, no big deal. I can say this and keep it, and it's a big deal as long as I'm swearing by the right thing. And it's not really about the vow itself, but the kind of vow. Did you vow with your fingers crossed behind your back? Did you vow with a different kind of thought in your mind that this is a vow that's not really that big a deal? Listen, church, our word should be our word. Amen? Our yes, yes. And our no, no. And this is a way that we manipulate into a double lifestyle. It's as if we have a God box and our own box. Think about your life right now. Do you have two boxes? Where some things are God's and some things are not God's? Maybe it's your promises. We're talking about our promises. And some of our promises are God promises. Oh, God, I'd never break this promise. I'd never turn my back on you that way. That's a big promise. That's my marriage. That's my commitment to you, Lord. You save me. But showing up on time, I said I'd follow through with that, help for a friend. And if I flake out, no big deal. Maybe my promise goes in that box. What about your thoughts? Are there thoughts that are God's thoughts? On Sunday morning, you're a good, good father. You're almighty. Oh, my thoughts are on you, God. Those are my God thoughts. But what about Sunday through the next Sunday? What are we letting in our minds so some of those thoughts become my thoughts? And we have this compartmentalized lifestyle. What about my speech? On Sunday morning, man, my speech is crystal clear. Hey, love you, brother. Good to see you. And then driving out of the parking lot, it's blankety blank, got in my way, cut me off, my thought, my speech. Is it starting to sink in a little bit? Does anybody see themselves here? Hopefully not so much, but we have so many. What about my morals, the things that I allow into my life? Do we have morals that are God's morals? Because those are the biggies, but other morals that are my morals. And I put them into my box. And we start to have this compartmentalized life. Some things God doesn't even get at all. Maybe it's God's will. Well, God, I know that that's your will, but I've got a will of my own. What about my will? I say, God, the big things in life, maybe my parenting, or maybe, a certain habit pattern. God, I know that that's got to be yours, and I do trust you. But Lord, I'm really in a bind today. And I'm faced with a dilemma at work. And if I don't compromise, I won't get that promotion. Or I might even get fired. So God, I've got to take matters into my own hands. And the will goes in that box. And the other things that are on the board as well. Do we have really a life that's duplicitous? That God has his, I have mine, and they're separate. This is really what we're talking about today in keeping our word. God says you don't have God vows and your own vows. God's vows that are unbreakable, my vows that are breakable. Your word that's important, and then your other words that are not so important. The things you say that are solid, but the other things you say that you can kind of just fudge on a little bit. God says no, that there shouldn't be any of that duplicitousness. He says this, the love does weigh, but I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even hair, one hair, white or black, or you can't make one grow back. Simply let your yes be yes, or your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Don't swear at all. You can't make a transaction or you can't take God out of a transaction. There is nothing in this world that doesn't belong to God. Whether God's name is in it or not doesn't matter. Any promise we make is unto the Lord because he's here. Any promise we make is unto the Lord because he's in us. Any promise we make is unto the Lord because we're Christians. This isn't about our name ultimately. It's about his name. We are the people of God, and the people of God keep their word. Amen? You can't remove God. You can't have a God box and a my box. No such thing. My box doesn't exist. The only box that exists is God's box. Everything is God's. Your thoughts, your will, your money, your family, all goes into God's box. Your work, your service, your home, everything goes into God's box. There is no other box. There is no other way out. Your service, your future, everything goes into God's box. There is no other box. This is your life now. It's all his. Your fun, your children, everything. It's his and his alone. You can't remove God from the transaction. There's only one. Why is this necessary? Why do we make oaths necessary? Three quick reasons. One, because we want to reassure someone that we're sincere. I really want you to know that I mean this. I'm sincere about this. You've ever made a promise like that? Because you didn't think the person thought you really meant it? What does that do to your word? Or another one is because we want to convince someone that we're sincere. Maybe we're not even really sincere. We just want them to think we are. We want them to really feel that we mean what we say, even if we do or if we don't. And the third one is because we don't trust people without something greater attached. Are there some people in your life that you need them to make you an oath? Because they've already broken their word enough times that you just really don't trust what they're going to say. Or that they're going to follow through with what they said. Christian, don't be that person. Don't be that person. Be the person that when you say yes, it's yes. When you say no, it's no. When you say you'll be there, you'll be there. When you say you'll follow through, you'll follow through. When you say that you won't break that confidence, you won't break that confidence. Oh man, Laura told us she was pregnant on Father's Day. It was crazy trying to keep that confidence. Wanted to tell you so bad, we couldn't say anything. We gave her our word. If we break her word, what trust does she have in mom and dad? Better yet, what trust does she have in our honoring of our father with our word? Aeschylus said this, it's not the oath that makes us believe the man, it's the man that makes us believe the oath. It's our nature, it's our character. Why is keeping our word important? Because your character is measured by the promises you keep. God has elevated his name and his word above all things. Your character is measured by the promises you keep. Did you follow through? Did you do what you say you would do? Did you not do what you said you would not do? How do you measure someone's character? Oh, they're a good guy. They're a nice lady. Well, how do you know that? Because they keep their word. They follow through. They're honorable. They're consistent. Why? Because keeping promises keeps your relationships healthy. How many of our relationships have been broken because of broken promises? Last week we talked about marriage. How many families have been destroyed because of broken promises in marriage? Better yet, how many friendships have been destroyed? Family relationships have been destroyed. Family between parents and children, between extended family, because someone couldn't keep their word. They said they would and they didn't. They said they would not and they did. Our relationships are crucial. And our word keeps them healthy. Benjamin Franklin said this, promises may fit the friends, but non-performance will turn them into enemies. You can make an enemy by making a promise and not keeping your promise. The people won't trust you again. Number three, why is keeping your word important? Because God's reputation is established by the integrity of his people. What is the one word that non-Christian people love to use about Christian people? What's the word? Hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? Someone who what? Breaks their promises. You said you're this kind of person, but you don't act like that. You said you're a follower of Christ, but you don't do the things that Christ did. They love to use that. Now, understandably, they like to overuse that too. That any little thing is like, now I'm off the hook. But in reality, if a Christian doesn't keep their word, we become bad advertising, not for ourselves, but for God. How can a person say, I believe in that God right there, when the people who say they follow him, who are imitators of him, don't look anything like him? Why would I want a God like that? If God is a transformer of our nature, and we say that, if God can take lives that are broken and messed up and transform us into people of character and trustworthiness, but I don't see that, then there must be a problem with the God, because he's not able to transform his people. And it's God's reputation that's on the line. That's weighty for me, that we keep our word. Because God's name is important. God's name is powerful. There should be no need for an insurance clause attached to a Christian's word. Do you need something extra because being a Christian isn't enough? Do you need something extra because your word isn't quite trustworthy? Well, let me give you 7 quick ways to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Little small practical ways, but it's helpful. And this is above and beyond developing the nature of Christ in your life, developing the presence of God, and developing the fruit of the Spirit. Just some practical things that we can follow. Number one, realize your reputation is determined by your word. Number one. Okay, we've talked about it a lot already this morning. Your reputation is determined by whether or not you keep your word. We have to know that. If you think that you can somehow break your word and it won't affect how people think about you, you're deceived. They will not trust you next time. They will think twice about telling you that confidence. They'll think twice about relying on you because last time you didn't show up. Last time you called right before and said, oh, sorry, can't make it, and left the person hanging. Your reputation determines. Number two, make sure you can keep the promise before you make it. You know what? I'd rather have somebody tell me no than have somebody tell me yes and then flake later. Anybody with me? Just tell me no up front. I'm okay with that. If you can't do it, just tell me you can't do it. And at least then I'm not relying on you. Jesus actually said this. He said, it's better. And he talked about two brothers. He said, one brother says, yes, I'll do it, and doesn't do it. The other brother says, I won't do it, but ends up doing it. Which one is better? And the answer was the person who said he wouldn't, but then he ended up doing it, because at least the job got done. Make sure you can do it before you say yes or no. Number three, make friends with the phrase, let me get back to you on that, and then get back to them on that. It's okay to pause for a minute. Somebody asks you for something, and in the moment, in the heat of it, we might want to say, oh, okay, I'll just do it because I want to, you know, make the person feel good or whatever. It's okay with, you know what, let me think about it. I'll get back to you, and then get back to them promptly and let them know whether it's a yes or it's a no. Way better than making a promise you can't keep. Way better than in an emotional moment or in a stressful moment or in a pressurized moment that you give in and say you can do something and then regret it later and have to back out. It's okay. Give it a thought. Number four, again, avoid making a promise in order to make a person feel good. Isn't it hard to say no and disappoint someone? I hate disappointing people. Oh, really? You can't? Oh. It's okay. Be honest. I'd rather have someone disappoint me now, telling me they can't, than tell me they can later, and then right before tell me they can't come, or they can't fulfill it, or they can't keep it. It's better, because you kept your word. You said you couldn't. Okay. Avoid making that mistake of trying to make people feel good with your promises when you can't keep them. Number five, learn that saying no is better than saying yes and reneging. We have to get used to that. It's okay. Number six, don't allow pressure situations to force you into a bad promise. How many times I've been there? Oh, I really don't want to. I really can't. I really don't see I have the time. Okay, I'll do it because it needs to. And then it doesn't work out. You have to pull back. So many times that's happened. Avoid the pressure situation saying yes. And number seven, realize God's reputation is determined by your word. It's his name that's on the line because you're a Christian. It's not about your name ultimately, but your name is attached to his. There's only one box. Think about where you're at this morning. Think about your name. Think about your word. Are you a word breaker? Do you find yourself all too often saying yes and then having to say no later? Or saying no and then having to tell them, well, I actually followed through with that and I know I wasn't supposed to. We should be people that are trustworthy because we're Christians. What if every Christian always kept their word? Would there be any lever of hypocrite able to be attached to us? So much better when the world sees a Christian and says, you know, they don't always make me happy, but they keep their word. They don't always tell me what I want to hear, but they always tell me the truth. They don't always give me what I want, but they always stick by what they say. That's what followers of Christ do. Another quote that I really liked. It says, a man must lead a life which will gain more confidence in him than ever an oath can do. Will you lead your life in such a way that it's your life that's your oath, not some extra words that's your oath? We need to be those people. Here's what I know. A lot of people have turned their back on God because some person broke their word. A lot of people have refused to believe God because a person broke their word. God didn't break his word. God's always been faithful to his word. But the person says, if that's what God is like, then I must not be able to trust God because his people broke his word. And some of you may be hurting today. You may be even hurting, wrestling with being able to trust God fully, because someone else broke their word. I live under that tension as your pastor, because I've seen over the decades, pastors break their words, and then the people scatter. And I want to say, whoa, 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 what are you doing? God didn't break his word. The man did. But yet, we attach the two, don't we? When there's a disaster or some kind of scandal that happens in ministry, and people say, I'm not going to serve God anymore. Well, why not? Because that pastor had an affair. Because that pastor absconded with money. Because that pastor did this or did that. Well, God didn't do that. But we attach the two. I want to help you this morning. Don't let the broken promises of this world keep you from trusting the promises of God. And that's really where I want to land today. I want to land on, have you been hurt by somebody's broken promise? We all have. Have you ever hurt anyone by breaking a promise? I won't assume we all have, but there's probably quite a bit. I have. I regret so deeply the promises I made and didn't keep that hurt people. I say, God, I want people to trust you. I want people to honor you. Have you been hurt? Listen, God's word is trustworthy. No matter how much we mess it up as people, God's word is faithful. Amen. No matter how much we slip and slide and kind of waver with the wind, God's word is trustworthy. And as Christians, we need to work day by day by day into making our word as strong as God's word. I want to pray with us this morning on two levels. One level is, do you struggle with keeping your word? And now today you realize that your word is attached to God's reputation. And that if we're going to be people of our word, we honor God. If we're not, we dishonor him. And that breaking our oath, or rather making oaths, because we need to add weight dishonors God because the name Christian should be all the weight we need to make our yes be yes and our no be no. That's one side. The other side is maybe you've been hurt. And as a result of being hurt by somebody's broken promise, you've had a difficult time trusting God. You have a difficult time trusting anybody. But it was a Christian that did it, or a pastor that did it, or a leader that did it, or a respected person. And now you're not so sure you can trust God. You can. You can trust God's word. So let's bow our heads together. I want to pray. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's peeking. We're just being honest with ourselves. We're being honest with God. We don't want to have two boxes. Our God's box and our my box. Where some things in our life goes into God's box, but there's a lot of things in our life goes into my box. That duplicitous lifestyle. It's a violation of the oath we made to the Lord when we said, God, I'll follow you. I want to be yours. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, do you battle with that? You battle with some things in this life in your box and some things in this life in God's box and realize that that's really a violation and a manipulation of your word? Let's get rid of my box today. Let's get rid of my box. Let's put everything in God's box. Then when you say yes, it means yes. When you say no, it means no. If that's you today, let's make a decision. Let's make a decision today. No more my box. No more things that aren't of God. No more things that are a violation of his word. No more things that are just a little gray. It's okay. If you have to rationalize it, folks, it's not okay. If you have to explain it away, it's not okay. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, pray for me. I think I've got too many things in my box. I need prayer today. Would you slip up a hand? I want to pray with you. I've got too many things in my box. And I want to get rid of my box, and I want to be God's box and God's box alone. Thank you. Thank you. Lots of people. So many. So many. Thank you. You can put them down. You can put them. Thank you so much for being honest. Father, I pray for these. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for these people this morning that raise their hands. And God, I know there may be others that are struggling because they really don't want to give up their box. But they want to keep God's box at the same time. Because God's box is where there's comfort. God's box is where there's forgiveness and there's grace and there's love and there's mercy and all those good things. And we want that, but yet we still want to keep some things for ourselves away from God in our own box. Therefore, we live this double life. The life where our yes isn't our yes and our no isn't our no. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we'd be able to put aside right now, put aside my box and dump everything into yours, Lord. God, I thank you that you're not offended by our sin. You took care of it on the cross. Rather, you're offended, but you covered it. You bathed us and washed us and cleansed us ahead of time. God, you're not shocked when we fail. Before the beginning of time, you knew we needed salvation. You're not caught off guard by some of the things we say and do and think, but you want us to leave those behind and follow you. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Cover us in Jesus' name. Let's pray this together. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, today I decide to get rid of my box. I don't want anything in my life that's not submitted to you. I have decided to follow Jesus. And that means everything is yours. And today I renew that commitment by surrendering all things to you. Everything I am, everything I have is yours, Lord. And I'm following you. Help me by your Holy Spirit to live this day by day. In Jesus' name. with your head still bowed and your eyes still closed. There may be others that have been hurt. You've been hurt by someone because they broke their word, and now you even find that translating into a mistrust with God. You're having a hard time even believing some of His promises because you've been hurt. If there's some pain, if there's an injury, because someone broke their promise to you, I want to pray for healing for you as well. Is there anybody like that? You want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I've been hurt. Somebody broke their word, and it's been hard. I've got the wounds. It's been hard to trust again. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you. You can put it down. Any others that will join these? Lots of people. I've been hurt. It's hard to trust. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Father, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are a healer. And even when people fail, Lord, you never fail. Even, Lord, when people go back on their word, and they break their promises, they break the confidence, Lord, you never will. God, you're the one I can trust. Help us, Father, to be people of our word too, so that we won't be the causes of injury in someone else. Father, I pray for healing, that you would restore the ones that have been hurt because of broken promises. And then restore in them, Lord, the power and the understanding that they can trust you no matter what. We rejoice in that, God, in the fact that you are trustworthy. You are the same yesterday and today and forever. You will not change, and you will not lie. You cannot lie, for you are the truth. I thank you, God. I give you praise for your healing touch in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's be people of our word. Think before you make a promise. And when you say yes, let it be yes. When you say no, let it be no. Let Abundant Life people be people that others can trust. And you don't need an oath, because your character as a Christian is weight enough. Amen. Pastor Sean?
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.